Manx Radio's Countryside is brought to you by NFU Mutual.
Hello and welcome to the new series of Countryside here on Manx Radio. I'm Simon Clark.
And I'm Kerry Kermode. This week we hear from Matt Harrison from the Isle of Man Farm Shop to talk about his new venture over at Glen Helen.
And I popped along last weekend to join the members of WAG, who were starting a meeting and a walk around Ballinet in Lonnon to find out more about the big farmland bird count, which is underway as we speak.
And also we hear from Bryony Neal, ahead of the Farm Safety Foundation Week Yellow Wellies.
Well, I don't want to start the show too miserably in this season, but goodness me. Farmers are trading tractors in for boats.
My goodness, you're absolutely right, Simon. What a month it has been. It's been non-stop rain. I think we've had four dry days from somebody that's doing their own recording in their garden. But it's been relentless, and it's a hard time of year for livestock as they're already in calf or in lamb ahead of the spring season.
Yeah, and of course, a lot of farmers will have started lambing at the moment. And it's just difficult because not everyone has got the facilities to keep them indoors.
No, this is it. Some modern buildings do accommodate some livestock, but like you say, not everybody has the topography to have a shed on their property. And many farmers are governed by the weather, so some people have pushed their lambing times out a little bit to the end of March and April. Some of the early lambing, they're only doing smaller batches now because the weather has been so unpredictable the last while.
Yes, well, let's hope the weather improves in the next few months, because Matt Harrison's got a new venture that he's planning, and things are underway.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea what Matt's doing over there at the Glen Helen, making an old place into a new place. And we caught up with Matt while he's in the middle of his refurbishment.
Well, firstly, Matt Harrison, welcome to Countryside. A new venture planned.
Yeah, just a small one. Thanks for having me on. We're starting the Isle of Man Farm Shop Company at Swiss Chalet at Glen Helen. Spent quite a lot of time looking for a property, managed to negotiate a fairly lengthy lease on that to try and bring destination farm shop, bit of a cooperative type thing, which we can chat about, onto the island, because it doesn't really exist, I suppose. There isn't one place on the island I found that you can go and get everything, not just your food and your drink and your vegetables and your meat, but also sort of artisanal products, crafts, all sorts of things like that. There's not one place to go.
Yeah, I think you said you're originally from Cheshire, and when you go to the UK and see some of the places there, they do have like traditional sort of little miniature farm buildings in a way, that are kitted out with everything like you mentioned.
Yeah, I think you can't drive in Cheshire for more than a mile without falling over a farm shop. We've got slightly grander visions, I suppose, it's fair to say. I mean, your well-known ones, obviously, you've got Clarkson's Farm, you've got Dalesford, you've got one that used to be very close to where I used to live, a place called The Hollies. And it brings everything together, but not as a retail destination. I don't really think of what we're trying to do as a shop. I think it more as a destination for events. I mean, obviously the Glen is so beautiful. It used to be, I think I'm fairly safe in saying, it used to be the best Glen on the island. It was built originally as a Victorian pleasure garden, where ladies would go and sort of perambulate around the fountain with their umbrellas and a horse and cart. There used to be a bandstand there with music and things. And that's sort of the vision I have for it, where, you know, you'll come down of a weekend with the dogs and the kids. There'll be something to do. It's a beautiful place to come and have a picnic or a walk. And, ooh, there's a shop. And that's how we'll get ourselves known. So less of a retail destination, more of doing things for events. We've got all sorts of ideas around sort of butchery nights, which we think would be quite good fun. We've got ideas about cinema nights, because we can do a big screen off the balcony at the front. Lots of different things going on.
It is absolutely fascinating to hear what you've got there, but how are you going to get your suppliers on board? You know, who are you hunting down for that part of it?
We've done quite well. We've been working with Manx Radio. We've put a couple of videos out on the socials, with sort of calls to action for local suppliers and artisans. And the response to that has been really, really touching, encouraging and successful. Everybody to 100% is being very, very, very keen on the idea. And we've had lots and lots and lots of suppliers and artisans reaching out. So we've obviously got your obvious ones. So we've got the bread. We've got meat from a variety of different sources, different butchers locally. Manx Shellfish Company, local fish and seafood. Veg, we've got Microvegman. We've got Ellenson's. Up north supplying us with a lot of the veg. And the quality of this stuff, I think this is what people don't realise, the quality of the produce that we've got on the island is so phenomenally high. I mean, I've been up to the farm, up at Stewart's, and seen literally the spuds and the carrots and things coming out of the ground. And the quality of the produce that's coming out in its raw form, before it's been processed, washed, anything, I mean, it's the stuff you'd see, you know, not Marks and Spencer's, talking Fortnum and Mason's. I mean, it really is absolutely phenomenal quality. Same with the meat and the seafood that we've got here. And I think what we need to do is champion that a bit more. And part of what we're trying to do is not just the big suppliers that we've just spoken about, is start to work with local producers, local growers, farmers, artisans on the craft side as well, about how we can create a bit more of a cooperative. Because in my sort of recent history, I did some work working for DEFRA in the UK. So I worked with them more on the technology side, not on the front line, but working with their farming and countryside programme. So I have a fairly in tune understanding of the trials and tribulations that the farming community face. And here, I think that is key. But there's also some nuances to the island in that it's trying to find routes to market for people. Unless you're growing in huge quantities, you're never going to get into the big suppliers. You're never going to get into Marks. You're never going to get into Tesco's. And even if you do, you're going to be pretty much nailed to the wall on pricing. And it might not be financially worth your while. Whereas if you're a smaller producer, where do you take your produce to sell? What markets, what outlets have you got other than the really good and really successful farmers markets and things like that we do very well on the island? But that's not 365. That's not every day. That's not every week. That doesn't keep people going. So trying to provide a place where people can go all year round to find this quality of produce and provenance of produce, and also give some of our producers an opportunity to do something a little bit different. I think everybody has mixed views on the island about Clarkson, but I think he was pretty much on the button with things like mustard, if you've seen Clarkson's farm. And that's one thing I would probably steal. We don't have Manx mustard. We used to grow things like rapeseed on the island and make rapeseed oil. These things have sort of gone by the wayside and people have gone back to, you know, traditional bulk crops. If we give our community a market, a route to market for some of this stuff, that makes the profitability off the land much better. We can talk about exporting some of this product. I'm happy to go and set up a commercial kitchen and produce thousands of jars of Manx mustard. The creamery have led the way in terms of their development
cheeses,
in terms of their ability to place stuff offshore. I was fortunate a couple of years ago, I was in Santorini. I think it was a spa in Santorini and saw Isle of Man cheese. You know, if they can do it, why can't we? So let's talk to them. Let's get their advice as to how they've taken stuff offshore, and let's use our community to do so and start growing things that actually give a bit more profitability, smaller scale, to our producers on Ireland.
Well, hopefully, when are you hoping to get it all open? And of course, hoping in time to get a delivery service going as well.
Well, we've got, as I said, we've got some big plans. So fortunately, I'm in. So the first job for me was rebuilding the upstairs, which is a two-bedroom apartment, which at the moment is me. So I'm living on site and I'm going to be there at least for a couple of years until we get up and running properly. And then hopefully that's going to become a manager and their young family, because, you know, living above the shop permanently on site, and what a lovely place to be. I open my curtains every morning and there's a fountain and a waterfall. You don't get much better than that. So it's all guns blazing downstairs now to get the fridges in, get the flooring done, all that sort of stuff. So we're planning to be open, as I say, the date in my head's around the 29th of March. It may slip by 48 hours. I'm not quite sure, but that's the date that's in my mind. We're instantly going to be launching a click and collect and delivery service, and I'm trying to get the delivery service launched earlier. So we'll be doing home deliveries for meat boxes, veg boxes, and our partners at Dazzler will be hosting that. So you'll be able to go onto the Dazzler app, and whether you want to just a meat box or a mixed veg box or a few things to cook a meal, you'll be able to click and pay through Dazzler as to what you want. They send it through to us. We'll pick it and pack it for you and deliver it out to you. And we'll be doing the same for holiday lets and things like that to try and expand that market as well. So when people arrive off the boat and get to their holiday home, there's a box of beautiful Manx produce waiting for them.
I think it's really important that you get that Manx feel. Going back a minute, Will, to Matt, to the point where you said about profitability on Manx farms. Now, that is hot topic. How do we make these products, you know, competitive in the marketplace? You know, we hear Manx products or produce is more expensive. How will you manage that?
I think it comes down to provenance as well as route to market. I'm not... I've worked on farms. I, you know, years and years and years ago, my summer jobs was picking potatoes in the fields and baling. You know, when I was a teenager, making a bit of pocket money. So I understand farming. I understand the trials and tribulations of it. But I'm not a farmer, and I don't pretend I am. I'm also not a shop owner in my history. So I'm taking advice from as many experts as I possibly can. But what we have here is we have a rich history on the island of food production, and we have a fantastic quality of product, and there is a real following, not just on the island but also off the island. I mean, there's places in the States that are, you know, very, very keen on Manx items. And I think what people want to know nowadays, post-COVID and post everything else, they want to know where their food's coming from. We want to give them that story. You want to know where your steaks come from. You want to know what part of the cow it's come from. You want to know where that cow was. And that's what we will have in the shop. We'll have the full provenance of whatever it is that you're buying. We'll be able to tell you, is it grass-fed, how long it's been hung, which farm it's come from. And we'll also be able to give you ideas as to what to put with it, because it's the Isle of Man. We're not producing everything all the time. It's going to be incredibly seasonal, our produce. There's going to be years that we don't even have any carrots. You know, you're not going to come into the shop and think, oh, I'm going to buy some beef for a roast this weekend. I'm going to buy some carrots and potatoes and have a traditional Sunday roast, because we might not have them. But what we will have is an alternative, and we'll be able to steer you into something that's fresh and good. So you might walk in wanting a piece of beef and walk out with a fantastic lamb loin. But that's, I think, the important thing. It's telling people about where the food's come from, telling them about the provenance of it, and price point wise, then people are prepared to pay slightly more. And one of my big things is around packaging and length of how we store food and how well it keeps. If you buy, my usual example at the moment is potatoes. If you go and go to any supermarket and you buy four baking potatoes, they're in a tray, they're wrapped in plastic, and you put them in the fridge. They will last 2 or 3 weeks in the fridge before they start going a bit soft. Don't keep them in the fridge. Put them in. Not everybody's lucky enough to have a larder or an outside space, but everybody's got a pan drawer. You know, put those four baking potatoes in your biggest pan in your pan drawer, and they'll last a month. So it's not so much about getting the price point right. It's about selling people quality, telling them how to store it correctly, making sure it's sold correctly, not wrapped in plastic that's going to make it sweat and isn't good for the food anyway. So stuff lasts longer, it tastes better. And then I think no matter what your financial situation is, you will pay slightly more, and we will give a slightly better return to our producers, because stuff has been produced right, packaged right, sold right, and cooked right.
There we go. That was Matt Harrison from the Isle of Man Farm Shop Company Limited.
Yeah, and it's great that he's not just thrashing about what he's going to do and everything. It's just a mention and a sort of wake-up call to everyone on the Isle of Man, whether they're producers or just members of the general public who may not have much money or maybe a bit more fruitful, you know, being able to be. So, you know, he's just promoting all the areas of it, really, which is great.
I think it's really great. The concept of having all the Manx produce under one roof is a real help, and we do hope it gets off to a flying start. But if you want to get involved with Matt, take a look at www.iomfarmshop.im, or you can also find him on Facebook, the Isle of Man Farm Shop Co.
Well, last Friday was the start of the Big Farmland Bird Count. Details are all available on the FWAG website or the Facebook page. But beforehand, we were invited to Ballinet in Lonnon, courtesy of Stuart Clegg and his wife Barbara, where we were invited to have a look around ahead of it. I caught up with Alison Leonard from Manx Birdlife and also from Stuart Clegg himself. Well, Alison Leonard from Manx Birdlife, it's a big day out here at Ballinet. Thank you to Stuart Clegg and Barbara as well. But it's all part of a big initiative for not just bird watchers, but for people who may be interested in, you know, finding out and reporting any birds that they see around the countryside of the island.
Yeah, so it's a great event that's been set up by FWAG on the island, and it's ahead of the Big Farmland Bird Count, which runs from the 6th to the 22nd of February. And the idea behind that is it's aimed at farmers and people who might, you know, have access to farmland, to land, to go out and just spend half an hour and see what they see. And it's really important, because as much as people like me who go out and do bird surveys for a living, it's just a snapshot that we see. People who are out there every day know the land as well as these farmers do. Being able to go out and see what they see and feed that back to us is a brilliant thing to do.
Yeah, and of course the farmland is so important, because there's ploughing happening, there's all sorts of dungs and feed, you know, for the birds to get to, and different types of birds as well, which is the important thing, because some of the species sadly are declining on the island.
Yeah, unfortunately our farmland birds aren't doing brilliantly, so things like the yellowhammer is pretty much gone as a breeding species now. You still see the odd individual. Corn buntings are gone entirely, pretty much. It's not all doom and gloom though. Things like curlew are coming back. But yeah, being able to, you know, the farmland is such an important habitat on the island. It covers a lot of the island. So yeah, being able to sort of see that, manage that, and know what's there is just fantastic.
Yeah, and one of the things that we've got little booklets here with the descriptions of the bird and pictures of them. But the way technology has moved on, people may not get as close to identify them, or their eyesight's not as good as it used to be. But certainly you can hear the voices of the birds for quite a long way away, and there's some important sort of new apps and things like that that people can use to identify them.
Yeah, these apps are brilliant. The main one that people use is called Merlin, and you download it on your phone, and when you go out, it will tell you what it hears, and it will hear much more than we hear. It'll hear things from much further away. And yet it's a brilliant tool if you aren't entirely sure what you're seeing or hearing. It's a great way to get started. It's not, you know, definitive. You do need to put a little bit of work in, but it's a great way to start. Download it, go out, see what it tells you is, and then, yeah, get your books out. Go online, there's loads of stuff online as well that you can find to help you identify those birds.
Yeah, and I suppose one of the advantages is a lot of people love to go around the various parts that are accessible to the Isle of Man for walking in this day and age, and everyone's got their phone with them, and it's the perfect thing to do.
Yeah, we've all got a smartphone in our pocket these days. We've all got that, you know, connection. So yeah, it's just brilliant, because yeah, the amount of information we can gather from these things is great.
The Big Farmland Bird Count, that it's called, is it difficult? Is there a worry that people just trespass onto farmers' land? You'd have to know them and find out first before you did.
Yeah, I mean, this is primarily aimed at farmers. If you want to take part, speak to your local farmer. Don't just go wandering across land that, you know, this is somebody's livelihood. You don't want to be trampling. But yeah, get in touch with your local farmer before you go in.
But the Isle of Man, as your role in the Manx bird life, still a very interesting place for ornithologists, is it?
Yeah, it's a brilliant place to live for people who are interested in all nature. I mean, we've got fantastic populations of chough, which is obviously a well-known farmland bird. We've got the hen harriers, peregrines, ravens, which have, you know, great cultural significance. Yeah, it's a brilliant place.
And lots of reported sightings of owls of recent times that I've been told as well.
Yeah, barn owls and tawny owls, we have both of them, but also long-eared owls. They seem to be doing very well at the moment.
Yeah, we're very happy to invite people to come and enjoy the countryside with us. This is the Ballinette. It's an estate that which we've developed over the years with lakes and wildlife stuff, and in contact with the wildlife groups and SWAG, we feel we're putting something back. We've done well out of the island company-wise, so we're trying to put something back now.
But it's one of the places, you think you're coming up here, you think to yourself, there's not going to be much of a wetland, but you've managed. Were they sort of half natural, or have you just created them?
They were just boggy land, but then when we've excavated around, it's pure white clay underneath, and it's been comparatively easy to make the lakes. Yeah.
But when you walk around here, you know, you look over the top of the Clayhead Road, and you can see the Macclehead. Yeah. You look the other way. Yeah. It's just great vantage points. And the little sort of track that you've created in the middle of the fields, it's just it's got a lovely, peaceful vibe, hasn't it?
We've left a wide enough track right around the perimeter of the land that we own, the trust owns, so that people can walk and enjoy it, and it becomes a wildlife patch as well. Mm-hmm. And we're now hoping to do similar along the headland near Groudel. We're in the middle of creating another part to the trust down there.
I suppose there's always that element of expansion into different areas of the wildlife and conservation, isn't there?
Yeah, we've got here, and now we've got down towards Groudel, which we're developing, which was left to the trust, and we've done a development in the valley behind Laxey Wheel, which used to be the municipal pit tip for Laxey. It was a really old, rough area. We've levelled that out and greened that over, and that's beautiful walking, and now everything's open. You can walk down from the Laxey Wheel area right up to Agnishnally. Yeah, that's nice. But if ever you get the chance, in the spring, there's so many birds down in that area. The dawn chorus, I've never heard anything like it. If you go there early in the morning in the spring, when the dawn chorus, it's a real treat.
Now, obviously, it's near the coast here on the east coast of the island. You'll have had lots of sort of seabirds and everything. But since you've had this developed into the nature reserves, Stuart, I mean, have you noticed such a difference in the species that's coming in?
Well, there was absolutely nothing here in the way of trees and that when we started this development, which is about 30 years ago now, but now we're getting all sorts coming in, and we're really chuffed with the choice. we get loads of them coming in, and all sorts, and people really seem to enjoy what's going on here.
And it's a difficult. I've spoke to Alison Leonard from the Manx BirdLife today, and it's just a difficult time, I think, for species of birds. Some are declining, but it's great to see numbers like the choughs and the curlews doing okay.
We don't seem to have any curlews now. I'd love them to come back, but there's all sorts of other stuff going. Mountain hares and stuff. They seem to come down to this area where they didn't used to be. So if you drive in here overnight, you see all sorts of stuff in the evenings as well.
Yeah. Well, it's been a great day out here, and thank you very much to you and your wife for letting us have a look around.
My pleasure. Nice to meet you.
Stuart Clegg there, who runs the Ballinette Nature Reserve in Lonnon. And before that, Alison Leonard from Manx BirdLife telling us all about the Big Farmland Bird Count Identification Workshop and all the little books and pamphlets were available, and incredible that you can get all these apps. So you can just press a button when you're out, because everyone's got their phone with them, Kerry, and you can press a button, and it's like the song identifiers. These identify the bird songs and comes up with a picture of the bird that's singing it.
Isn't it incredible how far technology has come? Who would ever have thought we'd be carrying it around in the countryside? But isn't it fascinating how many rare and endangered birds that we do spot in our countryside that we didn't even know was there? And it can get quite addictive out there.
Yeah, and it's just sad that some numbers have declined and gone completely, like the yellowhammer. It's really, really sad. But, you know, we were out there and a beautiful walk out the Ballinette there, and the choughs flying around and the seabirds. It's just great. And, of course, that big farmland bird count runs until the 22nd of February. As I said at the start, if you want more information, just go to the FWAG Facebook page, or look them up on the World Wide Web. You're listening to Countryside here on Manx Radio with Kerry Kermode and myself, Simon Clark. Well, we speak about farm safety quite a bit, Kerry, don't we, on the programme? And, you know, everyone tries and does what they can to keep it safe, but it's not always practical, particularly on farms. And it's always getting more and more made aware of.
Absolutely. The awareness and education is absolutely key around the farms. And I suppose from when we grew up on the farms to when youngsters are growing up on the farms today, Simon, there is a lot more awareness around machinery and livestock that we maybe didn't get taught. But that said, there's never enough. So this week we see the campaign, the Farm Safety Foundation, Yellow Wellies, Mind Your Head. That gets underway this week. And we catch up with the Isle of Man Secretary of Young Farmers, Bryony Neal, to see what they're up to during this week of Yellow Wellies. Bryony Neal, well, I suppose it's a calm before the storm with the Young Farmers Concert coming up, but just recapping back, it was a busy December with the Christmas tractor run. Now this year, I do believe it has been a record total for the charities. Is that correct?
Absolutely. We are absolutely blown away and overwhelmed by the support we received from the general public, everyone, you know, the diehard fans that come out every year, but also all the tractor drivers that did such an amazing effort decorating their tractors. We raised a staggering £30,228.87 down to the penny. Yeah, this year for our benefiting charities, which were I'll Stand Up to Suicide and the Isle of Man Agricultural Benevolent Trust. So yeah, we're absolutely overwhelmed.
That is phenomenal, because I know the amount of work that the Isle of Man Federation of Young Farmers put into it, the farmer community generally, but it is the general public that come out and support all of this.
Yeah, absolutely. And you see it when you're in the parade yourself, the amount of people that line the streets on both nights. This year was the Saturday and Sunday night, and yeah, it's amazing. The atmosphere is just electric. Everyone's so thrilled. All the smiling faces when you're passing through the villages and things. It's just, yeah, you can't get any better. So to have raised that much money from two such great nights is just amazing. And we can't thank everyone enough for the support.
And that support, it does come throughout the year for young farmers. I know that just around the corner, we're talking about the Young Farmers Concert. Again, another charity earner.
Yes, absolutely. Our vice chairman always picks the benefiting charity from the bucket collections and the programme sales. So that's Lee Quayle of Easton this year. So we are yet to hear who he is going to pick. But yeah, our Young Farmers Concert, it's fast approaching. It always does. As soon as Christmas is out of the way, it's here in no time. It's a little bit later this year, the 19th to the 21st of March. But everyone is well underway with sketch writing and practices. I was at Northern's concert practice last night, and yeah, we were doing full run-throughs, which was great.
Oh my word, well ahead of schedule.
Big props to the team there. They're doing ace, but as all the clubs are, they're getting on with it, which is great. And our tickets actually go out on sale this Saturday, so if you haven't got anything better to do on Valentine's Day, take your loved one down to the Welcome Centre, get in the queue early, because tickets go out on sale at 8 a.m.
That is fantastic. It's hard to believe we're talking about the concert, and like you say, it is a little bit later in March this year. But yeah, it's still time, I suspect, Bryony, for everyone to get involved, you know, if somebody's out there keen to have a go.
Yeah, absolutely. Everyone's busy sketch writing, dance practicing at the moment, but I'm sure if you went along or got in touch with one of the club secretaries, they would give you a job or ask you for help backstage, whatever. There's something for everyone.
That is it. And talking of something for everybody, this week is a huge campaign, Bryony. It is the Farm Safety Yellow Wellies. Hashtag who will fill your boots. Now, this is in its ninth year now, supported by the NFU Mutual. Mm-hmm. It is a huge charity. It is something that's close to everybody's hearts. You know, making farms safe, the education and awareness around how dangerous farms can be, but also the mental health side of it. You know, getting out and enjoying on the rundown to the concert is something, but it's not for everybody to get out there.
No, exactly. There's loads that people can do. Yellow Wellies, for example, they're a great organisation working with the young farmers that is for people under 40. But anyone can, you know, reach out to them, especially here on the island. There's a couple of amazing organisations that you can reach out to if going somewhere physically, socially is not for you. There's the likes of Greener Grass or I'll Stand Up to Suicide, who I just mentioned was one of our benefiting charities of the Tractor Run. They are amazing organisations. They do great things for people to reach out to just to chat, really, or if there's anything wrong, you know, you can reach out to them. But yeah, like you say, getting out to something social, if you feel up to it, for example, Young Farmers is something great you can do, even if you're too old, I say in inverted commas, to be a young farmer. You're still welcome at events and things like that. It's good to just get out and talk to people.
And that is it. It's just knowing that there is somebody out there for all of us, you know, however small or however, you know, minute the problem may seem to you or big to you. You know, somebody is there with an ear to listen. Social media can have so many positives, but it also can be quite a negative place too.
Yeah, absolutely. I think speaking to someone, a real life person, instead of someone behind a keyboard is very beneficial as well, isn't it? That's something that we, you know, really promote in Young Farmers, whether you're on a farm on your own or with a family member that you're just seeing 24/7, you need to speak to someone else. That's what we're here for as well. It's a big part of our ethos about getting together and having healthy minds.
And with that, Bryony, you know, when you've got an awful lot on your mind, sometimes you're not thinking straight in your workplace. It can be quite dangerous if you are in the countryside or on a farm or operating machinery. And this is what this campaign is about. You know, who will fill your boots if you do get injured, if your mind has wandered elsewhere?
Yeah, exactly. Like farming, agriculture, forestry and fishing, you know, it's got the highest rate of deaths in all industries probably. So it is really important that, you know, you're clear-minded when you are working. I know there's a lot of people over here that do work by themselves, which is also a danger in itself because there might not be anyone around to help you out. So I just think, yeah, getting out there, farm safety is really important, and it's great that they're highlighting it. We'll be sharing it this week on our socials. But yeah, mental health as well. There's nothing that's more important than that. If you're mentally healthy and happy, you know, it's going to make life easier in general.
And people can reach out to the Young Farmers as well if they fancy a chat, Bryony?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, myself as secretary, but also our chairman, Jacob, he's a farmer himself. So, you know, he knows firsthand what the challenges are. He's a really good person to speak to and would welcome any phone call, as well as Lee, our vice chair. But yeah, all our club committees have got people that would be there with open arms that would be willing to lend an ear and a hand as well if needed.
And I'm sure, as always, Bryony, it will be a busy year ahead after the Young Farmers concert for the Young Farmers in general.
Yeah, we'll have a little break before we get into all our stock judging rounds, the field day. We've obviously got the agricultural shows, but this year is actually our 80th anniversary. So we have got a few plans in the pipeline. We'll have a big celebratory event in the Royal Hall at the Villa Marina in November, which we're just sorting out at the moment. So everyone will have to keep an eye out for that because it'll be a good night to attend. And hopefully, a couple of years ago, we did a nostalgia afternoon in St. John's, which we had a lot of throwback photos and things from years gone by through Young Farmers. So we're going to do that again, hopefully on a bigger scale to celebrate the 80th year. So it's just things for people to look out for.
There we go. That was Bryony Neal from the Federation of Young Farmers.
Yep, and just get in contact with them if you want to help out with anything like that, or I suppose more so if you've got any new ideas that can help with this.
That's it. Raising awareness can be made fun as well, and learning from other people's experience or misfortunes. But also, if you're feeling down, there's always somebody around the corner to reach out to. The Young Farmers are a great way to put you in the right direction for somebody to chat to, maybe of the same age, maybe you're somebody completely different and out of the industry, but you're never alone. And that's the point that the Farm Safety Foundation Yellow Wellies is trying to push.
Indeed. If you've got anything for Countryside or you've got any events coming up that you'd like us maybe to feature, send an email to countryside@manxradio.com. And forget, all the episodes of Countryside are available at manxradio.com. Just download or subscribe to the podcasts. It's all free, so you don't need to pay anything. And you can listen to the interviews in full at your leisure. We're back next Tuesday, though, at 5:30 with more. So until then, from me, Simon Clark.
And me, Kerry Kermode.
We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.